The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes. And I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This past summer, along with all the priests of the Archdiocese, I went down to St. Meinrad to spend a week kind of in prayer and community building, building fraternity with my brother priests. It's kind of a way for us all to kind of get away from the parish for a week and just kind of join together, talk about what's going on, support one another, pray together. It's a wonderful week. It is. It's an amazing week to get together with my fellow priests. And there's usually time for reflection and prayer, and usually a priest will get up and kind of tell a reflection story for us to kind of think about and to draw us closer to God, kind of prepare us to get back into ministry. And being the year of mercy, the priest that got up this time tried to give us a reflection on forgiveness. And he told this very moving story about when he was a kid. He grew up on the east side of Indianapolis, attended Little Flower Parish, and went to Little Flower Parish's school for his entire elementary career. So from kindergarten all the way through, he was at Little Flower. And he remembers distinctly that while they were there, most of them, almost all of them really, were from good families. Good families that had good wages. You know, they made enough money that the kids were supported in their schooling. They had plenty of clothes to wear, jackets to wear in the wintertime. They had the food for their lunches. I mean, not that anyone was super rich, but nobody was poor either. You know, everyone was well taken care of. And he remembers during his fifth grade year, there was a new girl in their class, and she was quite a bit different from the rest of them. She had a very patched up old coat that she wore in the wintertime that hardly kept the cold out. When she would bring her meals with her to school for lunch, it was usually something very, very simple, like an apple and maybe some crackers, something along those lines. It was very clear to her classmates that she came from a family that wasn't as wealthy as they were. In fact, they probably skimped and saved everything they had just to send her to Catholic school, just so that she could get a good education and be brought up in the faith. And she took that personally, especially because as fifth graders, they did hold that against her. As fifth graders that don't know any better, they would make fun of her, they would ostracize her, cast her aside in their classroom activities, and she felt that. She felt, you know, secluded and set apart and an outsider. And so when Christmas was drawing near and all the kids were busy trading cards with one another, you know, handing off these Merry Christmas cards to their friends, she thought, this is my chance. You know, if only I could make an awesome card and give it to them, they'll finally accept me. They'll finally bring me into their inner circle of friendship. And so all these other kids, you know, they have these store-bought cards that they're handing out, or their parents help them make these elaborate cards that looked amazing, and they'd hand them out to one another right before Christmas break. She tried just to make her own cards at home. She was a fantastic artist. So she drew these amazing pictures of the creche scene, the nativity scene with Christ being born. And she thought, this is it, you know, this is my way in. And so on the last day of school, before they were going to be let out for Christmas break, she waited for all the other kids to go out for recess. You know, it was just warm enough, they'd have outdoor recess. She was going to stay inside and put a card on each of her classmates' desks. And she was so excited. She was waiting for them to come back in from their recess and to see these awesome cards that she had made, waiting for them to finally accept her in. Well, the kids finally came in from their recess, and they looked on their desks, and they saw these well-drawn cards, but they started laughing at her. She had made the mistake of thinking that Merry Christmas was not spelled M-E-R-R-Y, as we would for merriment or joyfulness, as we usually say with Merry Christmas. She always thought that it was the name Mary, Merry Christmas. And so she spelled out on the cards, M-A-R-Y, Merry Christmas. And this was just one more thing that the other fifth graders could make fun of her for, that she didn't even know how to really spell Merry Christmas. And in her anger and frustration and her hopes being dashed at being accepted by these classmates of hers, she ran around the room with tears in her eyes, snatching up all the cards as fast as she could, and she crumpled them all up and she threw them in the trash, ran to her desk, threw her head down on the desk, and started sobbing uncontrollably. This last chance for her to get in was gone. Now, at this point in the story, the priest that was giving this reflection, you could see the tears welling up in his eyes. And he said that he remembers that scene so vividly in his mind because never before or since had he felt so guilty. Never before or since had he felt so bad about what had happened, because he was one of the ones laughing at her. He was one of the ones making fun of her and calling her out and excluding her. And he realized just how wrong that was in that moment. And then something amazing happened. One of the other students in the class got up from his seat, and he walked over to the trash bin, and he picked out one of the cards. And he straightened it out, flattened it, tried to restore it back to its former glory. And he walked over to this girl, and he said with authenticity and genuineness, "I am so sorry. Thank you for this wonderful card." And he went back and he sat down. And another student did the same. They got up, they went to the trash can, they picked out a card, they flattened it out. "I'm so sorry. Thank you for this card." And soon the entire class had stood up and they formed a line, each one of them pulling out a card from the trash can, flattening it out, going to her and saying those same words. And every single one of them meant it. Every single one of them was truly sorry for what they had done, and they were thankful for this gift. And by the end of the time that the line had diminished and everyone had gone through, everyone was laughing. She was laughing. They were enjoying each other's company, and something changed in their class. And this priest detailed that once they got back from Christmas break, things were not the same. That they were a united class in a way that they had never been before. And that unification, that level of love that existed, continued with them through the rest of their time at Little Flower Parish. And even to this day, when they get together for class reunions or they see each other, they know, they remember that that was the moment that they came together as a class. In that moment of forgiveness and mutual love and seeing Christ in the other, they were brought together. In this season of Advent, we are called upon to look for Christ. We are waiting for the coming of Christ. But waiting for what? We ask that question, you know, are you the Christ? Who are you? When are you coming? And yet, all around us, we have those Christs in our presence. And we can ask that question of each of them, that individual at work, You know, that we just can't stand. They're annoying to us. We ostracize them. They set them aside. We don't talk to them. Are you the Christ? We can ask that question of the man that we see on 7th and Poplar with that cardboard sign asking for any help that we can give him, or the individuals that come to our soup kitchen wanting a little bit of help during this Christmas time. Are you the Christ? Or maybe it's within our own families. Maybe during this time of year when we get together as families, there are those that we don't invite. We've had these rows with them for years on years, things that we haven't forgiven them for, things that have forbidden us from talking to them or sheltering them in our homes. Are you the Christ? And at each level, at each of these moments, when we look at our fellow man and we ask that question, are you the Christ? The answer is always yes. Yes, they are. And maybe, just maybe, if we bring them in, if we can say to them, thank you for being you, and I'm so sorry for any neglect or abuse that I put on you, intended or unintended. If you can look out into the world and offer some of that forgiveness and love that God wants us to, why he sent Christ into the world, if we can do that, then maybe something will change for us. Maybe we will be united as a human family for the first time. Maybe this Christmas, we won't be the same anymore. We can look at each other and say, are you the Christ? And the answer will be, obviously, yes. Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ?